First Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, or from verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Now he says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves but unto us, did they minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. All right, which things the angels desire to look into. In other words, the things that have been preached by the Spirit. The angels themselves haven't seen this. So God says he wants the ministry to preach things that the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost uses the ministry to preach those things. All right? And that's what they were saying, apostles' doctrine, and then they get into fellowship. John said, the things we have seen, we share, that we might get into fellowship. And then he said, our fellowship is with the Father. So the order of God is ministry, preach it. And then I understood this, why Paul kept saying, pray that God will open a door of utterance. Pray that God, when he asked the church, he said, pray for me that God will give a door of utterance. I had Brother Copeland's daughter, Terry Pearson, talk about utterance. And she said, that door of utterance, and I understood it that day, I had her say this, is not opportunities to preach all over. She said, it's a door in the realm of the Spirit. Now, when you look at the book of Revelation, a door was opened unto John in the spirit realm. And God said, come and see the things that shall happen shortly. In other words, when a door of utterance is opened up to a person, God shows that person what he is about to do. And he says, utter those things to the people so that they can now pray those things that have been uttered there. Like Elijah said, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And then he said, I'm going into prayer that the sound that I've heard, the revelation that I've received, will come to pass. And he stayed there until the day dawned. And the day star rose. And then he got up. And as he got up from that place of prayer and started running, then the mountains and the hills broke forth and the rain began to fall. And that's the system of God. He opens up a door of utterance and shows this. The next thing I want to do to the lives of people, all right, in this city, preach it to them. And as they start preaching, then their faith is kindled for the fulfillment of that particular thing. And then they come into fellowship. They come into agreement. They're all in agreement. It's a group of people that are in agreement, and you cannot find it anywhere else. In other words, as Paul spoke and preached, he said he perceived that the crippled man at that point had faith to be made whole. He had never walked, but the preaching there opened up the possibility for that man to walk. And Paul didn't just leave the man and go. He said, now arise. In other words, as you preach, you open up a door of utterance, and what has, all right, been impossible in the lives of the people is now made possible. We don't leave people to go and try to do it themselves. Then we come in agreement, and you can only really, really be in fellowship. Only really be in fellowship, all right? Because fellowship is deeper than friendly relations. Fellowship is not friendly relations. You can be in friendly relations with people, but in order to be in fellowship with people, you must have, all right, the same, one of the words, remas now. The same revelation is in your spirit, okay? And that's why it says, that's what fellowship, it's deep there. It's a word there, and says you come into fellowship with these people, right? And you are in agreement there with them, and something can be realized, and something can now be made possible by all of you coming together there and praying those things that you have seen inside the Word of God for those things to come past. So fellowship is much deeper than friendly relations, okay? Yesterday, we had a leadership meeting, and somebody told me a testimony from somebody who said something. I want to show the difference here, because I want to get into this life fellowship, these groups that we're doing, and the covenant. Because when we come, all right, to the Lord's table, it says you don't discern the Lord's body. So we understand the difference between the Lord's body, all right, and just general friendship here. And it says that's what you come to communion. That's what I'm going to. So you understand the Lord's body. You understand, all right, the fellowship. And this person, she works in the bank, and she said, I was told this, that, you know, there was fraud underneath her, and this fraud ran to 10 figures. So 10 figures is not, it's not 300 million, it's billion now, all right? So what happened is, the boss said, you know about this fraud, and when billion money misses, that's trouble, okay? All right, first thing is that they first lock you up for some time, all right, in explaining things. So she now had to decide how to tell her sisters, who are all Christians, or to tell her cell members, that's fellowship members. So she decided to tell both parties, the fellowship in church and the sisters. So the fellowship members in church decided to fast for a day, and they prayed. At the end of the prayer, one of them said this. And let me say this, I didn't say it in any of the services, because what the person said was, all right, this matter is resolved, they must have got a breakthrough in prayer, and, all right, you will get a promotion after this matter is over. Now, that is a scripture that says that I will deliver you, and I will do what? Honor you. And it's in the Psalms. Now, experienced intercessors, and I believe this, when you have personal problems, I've said this before, read the Psalms. The Psalms is the book that tells you how to get out of trouble. Read the Psalms until you find a Psalm that describes your situation, and what that Psalm says is what will happen. Pray it. You understand this? All right? So, the prayer line said you'll get out and all of that. And so it so happened that everybody did a check and they found out there was no problem. And it happened as they prayed it, and she got promoted. But the point I'm saying is that, so she spoke to her sisters about it, who are blood sisters, who are serious Christians, and that's when she discovered that none of the sisters prayed. It was the cell that prayed. Friendly relations is different from fellowship. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? You don't need to know people physically to enter into fellowship. You just have to have the same word, revelation. Jesus, the people that followed him to go and pray, were they his friends from childhood? Isn't it the disciples he met at the age of 30 that followed him everywhere? Paul, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, it tells us that Paul in the book of Acts, it says that he found some 12 men. And sometimes people ask, well, you know, the balance in our revelation, what if a person is a baby Christian? Paul found 12 men, what they were preaching was the baptism of John. They didn't even know about resurrection. Paul took the 12 of them and told them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, prayed for them, and he carried these 12 guys, they formed a company, they made a mistake, went into the synagogue for a while, 3 months nothing happened, they came out of the synagogue, went to a school called Tyrannus. Together there, the Bible says the word of God spread throughout the entire Asia in the space of 2 years. Fellowship producing results. When people, so power is being wasted. Because you cannot get fellowship anywhere outside where you both are hearing the same things. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's how collectively, all right, you can come up. Now, we're getting blood stable. So this is not something you tamper with. Which means that fellowship there. In fact, let's look at what John said here in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3 to 7. He said, that which we have seen and that which we have heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. In other words, some people were in fellowship with them. So he said, for you guys also to come into fellowship with us. All right? And then he said, and truly our fellowship. In other words, we share this revelation, we come into fellowship. But the fellowship really is with the Father and the Son. In other words, it's in prayer. So the fellowship we are having is not even discussing with ourselves. Are you following what I'm saying here? The fellowship we're having is that we are able to go into the heavenlies together, which is not possible with any other set of people that don't have this. Commonality and revelation. It says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. It says, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, look at what it says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are going to have fellowship one with another. Then chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, because the darkness is past and the true light shineth. It says, he that seeth is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now. And then it talked about he that loveth his brother abideth in light. So the light, the revelation is relational. And there's no occasion of stumbling in him. Then chapter 3 and verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It says they are not part of that fellowship. For we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Now, when he says brethren, it's not just talking in general terms. He was talking about the dynamics between Cain and Abel, which means a small inner circle. He says because we love, we support that inner circle. We are genuinely there, all right, with that supporting and praying and helping. That you see your brother sin a sin that be not unto death. He says you will ask life for him and support, all right, and do that. And then he says you pass from death to life. Now, communion, it came out of the feast of Passover, where they used to have Passover, and they will eat that. And that's the first time Jesus broke bread. It was at the Passover. And he was upgrading it and saying, well, this is the New Testament practice now. But the Passover there, and what it meant was when death passed over. And he says, we have passed from death to life. Remember when Job prayed for his friends, that small group there. The Bible says God turned his captivity around. So God is talking about that commitment, all right, to the body of Christ there. First of all, fellowship, but also helping one another in this small group there. He says that's how we pass from death, once we begin to do this and understand our role in the body of Christ. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, and I'll close here with the communion and chapter 5, all right, and verse 7. And so he talks about purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep this feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Malice means desire to hurt or to harm, ill will. But with the unleavened bread. And communion is about that unleavened bread. But it's deeper than just eating unleavened bread. It's about having a heart that is unleavened, that there is sincerity towards your brother and truth in your dealings. That is to say, Jesus took bread and said the night in which he was betrayed. In other words, there is no sense there of betraying all right people. You are right there, and that's what it's about. When we come to the table, we recognize the body of Christ. We recognize, all right, the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not allow any offense there to lead to a place where the Bible says they will be offended and they will betray one another, right? To lead to any form of betrayal, to allow anybody's, but to understand, and when we look at it, look at chapter 11 and verse 23, we understand that this is, all right, I mean, it's not a question of what it says in Proverbs, where you say eat and drink, but your heart is not with that person. All right, it's about your heart being with that person. It's about understanding your responsibility for your inner circle, people that consider you as a friend. All right, people who have their trust in you, people whose hearts are at peace towards you, there that you also extend the same without any coloration inside your spirit. So he says in verse 23 here, Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord, the night in which he was betrayed. So it was that betrayal that was on the point here, and he took bread. And then he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, or with thanksgiving, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show or demonstrate the worth of the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Now, I mean, I grew up in an Anglican church, so you had to do confirmation before you could take communion. They say you do confirmation so that you are worthy to drink. But that's not what the scripture says. It didn't say that whosoever is not worthy to drink it and drinks. It says whosoever drinks it unworthily. In other words, this car costs 50 million. See the way you are just driving, behaving. Don't you know the worth of this thing? Which means you are driving this car in a what? Unworthy manner. You put everything on it. You don't care whether it's, you know, someone just painted, which means the worth of this particular thing. So he says, whosoever comes and he doesn't come with a sense of gravity of what happened, that you are before the elements that saved humanity. And what brought about the death of Jesus was the Passover, was the betrayal there. And you understand that. He says, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, next verse. And then he goes on and says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him drink. So he didn't say examine, and if you find you're unworthy, don't drink. He said, examine yourself, and then let him drink, which means if he looks at himself and feels that I haven't, and that's why you come to the table, I haven't, you know, I've said things I shouldn't say about people in my inner circle and network in the body of Christ. He says, let him examine himself. Let him make that adjustment. All right? And so let him now eat and drink of the cup. Verse 29, and he talks about it. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. And look, the Lord's body is the Lord's body. It's the bride of Christ. You're right? Okay? All right? You don't go. Look, you can insult a man. He might take it. But you start insulting his wife, and if he punches you in the face, we can only say, why did you? We understand why he, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So to go out and be insulting the bride of Jesus Christ, okay? You are not discerning the Lord's body. And that's why I don't understand. And it's new in Christianity with this uprise of social media, because people are not really rooted in the covenant, where matters of the church. And now people feel that they can go on social media and start discussing it anyhow and throwing it out there. Okay? And feel that, you know, that's how we do political change. That's also, you know, we change things in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a sacred thing. You don't go out there and start throwing things around on social media. All right? I mean, if you feel something is wrong, you can teach what you feel is right. But all this, without, you know, Paul said, why do you bring your matter in the church before an unbeliever in the law? He said, you are disgracing the body of Christ. For both of you to carry your matter, all right, and to go before the world there. So a man and a woman can fight in their house and say, look, your head is this, your house is this. That's inside their room. But if you now go out on social media and start saying, this is my wife, I want you to know what, and start saying that, you are taking the relationship to a place where you might not be able to call it back again. Are you following what I'm saying? You are now going somewhere you might not be, if you and your father can disagree, that doesn't mean you go on social media, all right, to go and insult your father because you have a disagreement right there. And Paul was talking about discerning the body of Christ. And that's what he was saying there. And now let's close with that. He said, you don't rightly discern. And that's the point of it. It wasn't just what they ate. He said, do it with, let there be no leaven in your heart. Eat it and drink it, damnation. Verse 30. And then he goes on and says, for this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. So people were falling ill. And he said, it's because they didn't discern the body of Christ there. Job passed from death to life because of his attitude there. That's how he got out. Towards the people in his inner circle there. Very important. Okay? One time God showed me something. He said, I hear there's envy, strife, and division. He said, you walk like men. Literal translation means you walk like mere men. So he told me, he said, listen, where there's envy, there's strife, there's division in the heart, you'll be like a mere man. The key to living that supernatural life is a heart void of envy, strife, and division. He said, automatically the door of the supernatural opens up to you. Walking in love is walking in the realm of the miraculous. And that's what they were saying here, which means for this cause. And then verse 31, it goes on and says this, for if we will judge ourselves, and that's what we have to do this morning, that sit down there and examine your heart. All right? we should not be judged. In other words, if you examine yourself and say, well, I missed it there, Lord, or I am settling this matter with you, I'm bringing myself back, all right, into fellowship with you concerning this thing, he said, you will not be judged. He said, but if you don't judge yourself, then you get judged by God. And what does that mean? Look at verse 32. He says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Not when God judges, he doesn't destroy. He chastens, which means he chastises. He creates pressure around you to make you understand. It's almost like somebody did not forgive the gift to torment us. So the person now realizes that and releases that person. And then everything says, so that you will not be condemned. So God steps in to chastise that person so that they don't get into a place of condemnation, which means condemnation is the one that the person now has gone out. But God deals by you doing, examining yourself, that's the highest form there, and saying inside your heart, all right, deep down on the inside of yourself, that I examine myself and I say, this has not been right, my attitude has not been right, so that I don't come under the chastisement of God. All right? And then it tells us, so that, and God will chastise so that we are not condemned with the world. So as we go to the communion table this morning, all right, let people examine their hearts there. But the bigger picture is not even about the elements you are eating there. It's making sure that everybody that sits at table with you, what you are giving them is the unleavened bread. In other words, the sincerity and truth. All right, in your dealings with people, you're not like the man that says eat and drink, but the heart is not with that person there, where people might, even as the Bible says, you give your goods to the poor, but there's really no love inside your heart. So that our hearts should be right, all right, there we examine ourselves, we judge ourselves, all right, and then we get ourselves into position.
Thank you for listening.